John Walden here. Join me in a little Bible study from the Psalms. The psalm that I would like to talk about just now is often passed over, and it shouldn't be, simply because it is the shortest psalm, also the shortest chapter in the Bible, and incidentally the middle chapter of the Bible. Psalm 117. Two little verses. But my, what great truth it contains. It tells us about God's love for all, and that His love is the outgrowth of His unchanging truth. Mr. C.H. Spurgeon, who wrote a wonderful commentary on the psalm, said, "While it is very little in its letter, it is exceedingly large in its spirit. For bursting beyond all bounds of race or nationality, it calls upon all mankind to praise the name of the Lord." In all probability, it was frequently used as a brief hymn suitable for almost every occasion, and especially if the time for worship was short. Perhaps it was also sung at the commencement or at the close of other psalms, just as we now use the doxology. It would have served either to open the service or to conclude it. It is both short and sweet. The same divine spirit, which expatiates in the 119th Psalm, here condenses his utterances into two short verses, but yet the same infinite fullness is present and perceptible. Now that's what C.H. Spurgeon said about this lovely psalm. Let's examine it a little bit. First of all, in the very first verse, it reaches beyond the nation of Israel. Oh, praise the Lord, all of ye nations. Praise Him or laud Him or sing aloud to Him, all ye people. Now, the children of Israel were very exclusive in their fellowship. They were a separated people. God had promised that through the nation of Israel, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. But the reason they were not a blessing was because, two things, they had turned away from God's free grace to the law. They demanded the law. God began to lead them through the wilderness in fellowship with Himself and by free grace. But they demanded a law. From the time they received the law, they had no message to give to the Gentiles. It never brought any salvation or blessing to them. They were condemned by it. Why should they carry it to somebody else? Also, they had nothing to say to the others because their own lives had failed so sadly. They were so filled with sin. They were taken up with idolatry. And there was no message to pass on to others. Now, the law never brings joy or blessing or salvation to anyone. The law only condemns. The law only kills. The law was our schoolmaster unto Christ, Galatians 3:24 says, but after that Christ has come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster. We are not redeemed by the works of the law. We are not brought to God. We cannot be reconciled through the deeds of the law, but only through God's grace. Now God's promise to Abraham, "In thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed," was fulfilled in Christ. And when the Lord Jesus came and offered Himself as a sacrifice on Calvary, then the gospel story, the word gospel means good news, consisting of the story of His death, burial, and resurrection, this story began immediately to be preached all over the known world, and it is still being preached, and people from all nations under heaven have come to know the Lord Jesus for their Savior as a result of the preaching of the gospel. And so this is the way in which the 117th Psalm is graciously fulfilled in our day. All ye nations, all ye people can certainly praise the Lord because of the Lord Jesus coming into this world and suffering and dying in our place. All who trust Him may join in praise. Now, if you haven't trusted Him, I wouldn't expect you to praise Him. You don't know what He's done for you. You don't realize how much He has given to you, how much He has done for you. The second word praise in verse 1 is a different word. The first one is really the word hallelujah or hallelujah. Hallelujah or praise to the Lord. The second one is a word which means to laud him or sing aloud his name, exalt him, say wonderful things about him. And we have so much we can say about him. Now the second verse tells why we are to praise him. There are two things in the second verse, his merciful kindness and his truth. Merciful kindness is a wonderful combination of words. You know, God is love as to his character. We're told this in 1 John. God is love. This doesn't mean that love is God. It means that God, as to his character, is a loving person. And love always acts. Love serves, love gives, and so God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So God shows his love toward us by doing two things. By showing mercy, this is the negative side of it. Mercy means that he does not punish our sins. And the positive side of it is kindness. So he shows his love by showing kindness to us. Someone has called kindness a small change of love, but there's no small change about it. Without kindness, there is no love. Because God does love us, he is kind to us. And if you love a person, you'll be kind to that person. So God showed mercy toward us in taking our sins away, and then he showed kindness to us in giving us all the blessings that his loving heart could devise. Including a home with himself in heaven forever. No wonder he says, his merciful kindness is great toward us. It is great. Psalm 103:11 says that his kindness to us, his mercy is as great, as high as the heavens are above the earth. So high is his mercy toward us. So great is his mercy toward us. Well, it took great mercy for great sins. Genesis 6:5 says that God looked on the earth and saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth. So our great sins required great mercy on the part of God. Notice that he says his merciful kindness is great toward us. Now, I'm always interested in anything that is toward me personally. Can I say that God is merciful and kind toward me? Why, yes, because he says whosoever, and whosoever certainly takes in me. Christ died for the ungodly, and certainly I'm one of the ungodly for whom he died. He died for sinners, and I know that I am a sinner. So I can say that his mercy is great toward me. Have you accepted his mercy? Has he been great in mercy toward you? Well, then join me in praising him. But he adds another thing in verse 2, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Now, God himself is called truth. The Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, in John 14:6. And then we're told also in John 17:17, Thy word is truth. So the word of God is the truth of God. Now God is honest and righteous and truthful about everything, and so he exposes sin and deals with it according to his own holy character. The truth of God makes it necessary for the Lord Jesus to die. Because God condemns sin, and he condemned it in his Son instead of in me. There's no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. We're told in Romans 8:1. But the only reason this could be was because God condemned his Son at the cross. He let him die in our place. How wonderful it is that we know these things because of the truth of God's Word. God's word is not affected by the doubts of men. Don't you let some worldly wise man rob you of the unchanging truth of God's word. Some of you young people are in high school or in college. Don't you let some professor who may be very smart in biology, he may know a lot about mathematics, but he may not know a thing about God or about God's word. Don't you let him tell you that no one believes the Bible anymore. And don't you ever parrot that kind of thing, say that kind of thing after him. It is not true. It wouldn't make any difference if it were true. The Bible would still be true. Whether you believe or don't believe the truth doesn't change the truth any. But there are plenty of people who do believe the Bible. I had doubts about it at one time when I was young, but I've gone to the trouble to study it, and the more I study it, the more I appreciate it. Until now, I do not have one doubt or question about anything in God's Word. I don't say I understand it all, but I believe it all. I have no doubts about it whatever. So you see, God wants us to be trustful of Him and to remember that His truth endureth forever. Long after this world is gone, long after all the enemies of the Lord have been cast into hell, the truth of God will go on, because forever, O God, thy word is settled in heaven. Now, trust him, why don't you, so that you too may praise him. You can join with us. This loving kindness, this merciful kindness is great toward you. God has spared you and given you an opportunity to believe in the Lord Jesus. Do so. And if you have trusted him, well then, join us in praising him. Laud him, all ye his people. Why not memorize this short little psalm of two verses and then sing it often to your Savior? I'm sure he would be happy to hear you praising the Lord. Our Father, we thank thee for thy dear Son, and we say just now that we want him to be praised. How wonderful thou hast been to us in thy merciful kindness and the truth of the Lord. Take our thanks now in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.